All right, so this morning, typically when I get the call to out of the bullpen to come fill in, I usually share something that's on my heart. And I've been thinking about over the past, several months really, about leaving a legacy. And so I want to talk about this morning what that means, what a godly legacy actually means. Now, I've had since Sunday to prepare for this. You know, I do have a full-time job, so it's not like every day that I prepare for it. But I've been preaching to myself for about a week. So just kind of bear with me in some of this. So the things that we'll share this morning, believe me, I've already kind of taken to heart, and I'm certainly not, perfect in any of these areas at all. So this is going to be very hard. Didn't pianists used to have like page turners that sat next to them? No, you're okay. All right. So as we talk about our legacy, I want to focus on a couple different passages. The first one's in Deuteronomy. It says, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you lie down and when you rise up." Now, I don't want to focus just on parents this morning, because building a legacy is actually kind of a responsibility of all of us as Christian men and women. So we kind of default to parents and legacy with their children, and I'll talk on that this morning because it is really important. But I don't want those of you who don't have children or young or whatever the case is to kind of tune me out. We'll check Facebook later, see who's posting at this time. So unless it's like Jeff is awesome, then I'll forgive you. Okay, all right, hidden with your phone in the middle of it, I'm sure. So as we talk about this, this is an instruction to parents to actually leave a godly legacy, and I'll talk a little bit about what that means here in a second. But one of the individuals that I thought of was Billy Graham, obviously someone who has been consistent through his entire life. And he says, one of his quotes, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith." We'll talk a little bit about character and faith this morning. But, you know, it's probably safe to say that all of us want to have some type of influence on those who are around us, whether it's our children or whether it's our coworkers or whether it's just the people in the community. All of us want to have a positive impact. Parents also want to have a positive impact on their children. I would hope that I had some type of positive impact on my children. I'm not going to ask them, but I would hope that's the case. And most parents want to pass on good things to their children, whether it's material possessions, whether it's enough money to bury us when we die, or whatever the case is. But most of us want to pass on a legacy. But I want to take a little bit further and talk about, for a lot of our years, we just focus on the material things, but we actually have a responsibility to pass on things of faith to our children. And I'll tell you why that's so important here in a second. And I want to focus on another verse here this morning for those of you that don't have children. Timothy talks about in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul instructed Timothy to invest his life in faithful men or women who would pass on God's truth. And it's like this, you know, Paul invests in Timothy, Timothy invests in someone else, and then you have this legacy that's being passed on from generation to generation. And, you know, the kind of the sad truth is that in three short generations, I'm not going to be around. So I kind of got to think about, I'm not trying to be morbid or nothing like that, but I've got my children, my children's children, and I might be around for, you know, when Jacob's a grandfather. I don't know. So the thing is what do I need to do today to have an influence in my great-grandchildren's life? And that's passing on a spiritual legacy. So I want to talk a little bit about my past for a minute, and I am certainly thankful for those legacy builders that I had in my life. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a loving home. I was raised in a home of really good people, but I didn't have a spiritual leader in my home growing up. And I'm very thankful that for what my mom tried to do. I'm very thankful for my dad came to know the Lord late in his life. I'm thankful for all those things, but I didn't have that growing up. But I did have a lot of people who influenced me in my life. So as we're talking about here today, so as we talk about Christian parents passing on a legacy, and if you're a parent here today, you should be passing on a spiritual legacy to your children. But not everyone has that in their life. So that's why it's important for us as individuals, Christian men and women, to actually have an influence in the lives of those around us. And I'm going to share some just really practical ways for us to do that a little bit later on. But for me personally, it was those individuals. It wasn't my parents that passed on a spiritual legacy to me. It was people like Jackie and Francis Priest. Thank you, Gay, for your parents, who as a very young person in the church kind of just, hey, I want to make sure that he's included in things because I didn't have anyone, right? For my future mother-in-law, who even though I probably thought Melinda was cute, we didn't really, you know, weren't dating or anything. But, you know, Priscilla comes up to me and says, hey, I want you to be my adopted son here in the church. So whenever we do stuff as a family, I want you to be a part of my family. You know, what an impact that is to a young man. And so as you're kind of thinking about how you can influence folks, and it was more than just her saying, hey, come sit with me in church. It was them instilling truth in my life through the daily decisions that they made. So very thankful for those folks who started instilling in me the things of faith. So never underestimate the things that you do. We're all leaving a legacy. We just, you know, either it's something positive or it's something negative. We're all influencing the people around us. And it's just how do we want to influence others. You know, at my age now, I'm 51 years old. Again, I don't do midlife crisis and all that kind of stuff. It's just, that's not me. But, you know, I firmly recognize that I'm on the back side of my life, right? I'm 51 years old. I'm probably thinking I'll do good to see 75 or so. But, oh, wow, how many people are in here 75? Maybe a little longer. How about that? But, you know, what am I doing today? And I kind of think about this. I don't really think about the material possessions or, I'm not worried about my kids having to bury Melinda and I. There's money set aside for that or what. And hopefully I won't leave a bunch of debt to them, but maybe we have fun with our retirement money. We don't leave too much. So I'm not really worried about those things. It's really about the spiritual legacy that I'm instilling in my children and hopefully my children's children and, you know, the folks that are around me. So I've been thinking about those things here lately. And, you know, that's kind of heavy thoughts. But like I said earlier, three short generations from now, I'll be lucky to be a faceless name on a piece of paper. I was telling the folks in Life Group this morning, you know, I might be a throwback Thursday post on whatever the social media is at the time and have a good looking picture of me as a young kid or something, you know, and, or, yeah, we're out. And or maybe some picture on a wall. But it's more than that for me, because here's the reality. First generation folks. So let's just take me. Just take you. You're here today. So you're on fire for the Lord. You want the things of God in your life. You want His ways to shape your ways. You want to do the things every day that God wants you to do. You know, you have that desire and you have that passion. But the thing is, if you don't instill that into those around you, that second generation, so if I don't instill those things into my children, that second generation, they might kind of just go along for the ride because their faith has to be their own, right? Your children's faith can't be your faith. So we have to lead them down the path or teach them the things of God so they can have an opportunity to set those things themselves. Because the reality is, second generation, they might kind of just conform for convenience because it's what daddy did. And that's a scary thing to go down. If your children or the folks around you that you influence are just kind of going along because that's what you do and they don't want to let you down, that's a scary proposition for them. And that's not the legacy that I want to leave, right? Because what's going to happen in that third generation, my children's children, I have to step aside and I have to say it was different for me because I had spiritual influences in my life other than my family. But it could have very easily gone off the rails. But what can happen in the third generation is they're really not going to care for the things of God because it wasn't instilled in them from their parents or from the folks who are around them. And they're going to very easily leave God's command. So we're really three generations. You can be three generations from your spiritual legacy dying out in your family. So it's very important for us today to understand that and actually start doing some things in our lives that can actually, make a difference. So make a positive difference. All right. Let me get caught up here. Okay. So leaving a godly legacy, one is our purpose as parents, is one of the things. You know, we need to do the care and feeding and all that kind of stuff of our children, but we need to instill a godly legacy in our children, and that's our responsibility. But it goes more than that. If you don't have children, I believe it's a Christian responsibility for all Christian men and all Christian women to actually be an influence in the lives of those that are around you. Because, again, we're all leaving some type of we all have an influence. Whether it's positive or whether it's negative or whether it's just, indifferent. But so we are to teach others about God. We are to teach others how to live a life worthy in which we're called as Christians. That's being consistent. That's being God-honoring in the things that we do. Now, again, we all fail. We all sin. There's not one of us perfect. But don't let that be your excuse. Strive for excellence, right? And impact those, and we do these things, and we impact those who come after us for many generations. Because for me, I'm concerned about my grandchildren. Not that I'm not concerned about my kids, because I am. But I believe, my kids are on the right path. But what kind of influence will I have in my grandchildren's life? And I want to be there for them to do it personally. But if I'm not for some reason, then I want my children to know what I stood for so they can pass that on. Hopefully that makes sense to you. All right. So Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance. So what kind of inheritance are we talking about? Are we talking about, property or money or trinkets or things or, whatever the case is? Those are good things to pass on. It's kind of cool to look through, your grandparents', collection of things, and you can see old pictures or you can see things that they collected. That's kind of a neat thing to pass on. Or we just concerned about passing on a bunch of property or a big bank accounts or whatever the case is. I kind of wish that would have been passed on to me, but it wasn't. So it's even more than kind of a material inheritance. It's okay to think about those things. I think we all should think about those things. We don't want to leave our children in debt. We don't want to leave a bunch of debt to our kids to take care of. But we should make every effort to focus on the things which will lend itself to a rich spiritual legacy. And promise, we're gonna get to what those things are. Okay. One, we should go pretty quick. One, we should be an example of the character traits you'd like to develop in your children and are those that you're influencing. The reality is, if you want people to be truthful around you, you need to be truthful yourself. If you want folks to work and serve, you need to work and serve yourself. If you want authentic relationships, you need to be an authentic person in your relationships. It's very easy and practical stuff, right? I'm a very simple guy. I kind of like to, boil things down to what really matters. And if I want to be an influence in my children and those around me, I need to model those things. It's just that simple. I'm not going to be perfect in it. I was never perfect as they were little. Growing up, I wish I would have done things differently in a lot of cases. But hopefully, hopefully I was, you know, am a positive example of a Christian man, of a Christian husband, of a Christian father. As we're wanting to be an example, though, we got to share God's word. It can't always be Jeff's opinion on things. What I'm encouraging you to do is get into God's word and share God's word with those who are around you, your children, your family members. And then look at what God says about a certain situation, and then you can have a discussion about it. But you should always base the decisions and base the things on God's word. Share the Bible with your children. A lot of parents think, or a lot of individuals think, that it's enough to just come to church a couple times a week, a couple times a month. Bring your kids to vacation Bible school, or send them to summer camp, or make sure that they're a part of Awana or whatever the case is. That's really good things to do, but it really goes beyond that. It goes beyond just taking your children or having other people influence those around you. It has to start in the home. That can supplement a lot of these things. But if you want to be an example, model true Christian living in your home. The sad thing is that there's one face at church and there's one face at home. Don't be that guy. Be that example that you want your children to emulate. And how do you do that? Well, a few things. Make prayer a priority in your life. I'm going to open myself up to you. Prayer is always something I've always struggled with. I know Chris and I've talked about, shared that with you many times. Having a consistent prayer life is always something I've struggled with. Some people don't. But I know it's important. Talking to God is important. So make time to speak to God. And what I've found is that to be more consistent in my prayer life, I pray in the mornings when I'm driving to work. I have a 75-mile commute. I don't pray every 75 miles. I don't close my eyes either. But it's a time that I can talk to God, because I'm driving 4 or 5 days a week. I should pray 7 days a week. We all should. But you can start there. You can do something like that. Someone shared with me recently, they pray in the shower. Okay. That's cool too. So make prayer a daily part of your life. Serve others. Modeling true Christianity is, it comes through service. We should be, your children and the folks that you want to influence should see you serving in some capacity. It doesn't matter what it is. I always use this example, and I'm going to actually give her credit. Tanya and Karen, is Karen in here today? They fix your coffee every single Sunday morning. I don't know if you know that or not. Raise your hands. Right here. Right there. Right back there. Yep. If you drink coffee, yes. I always use that example because it's one of the things where, Travis, awesome singer, Jacob and Josh and Jared and all these folks who lead music and sing up, they're visible, right? So you can see them serving. A lot of times you don't see them serving. You just see the recipient of what they've done. But I guarantee you, if they're not faithful in their service and you drink coffee on Sunday mornings and you come in and it's not there, somebody's not happy, right? So serve. So sometimes they see you serving, and sometimes they just see the product of your service. So do that. Make worship a priority in your life. If you want your children to be closer to God, if you want the folks that are around with you, make worship a priority. This time together is important. All right. Be an example. Next. Oh, okay. I'm going to pick on this guy called Max Jukes. Our character will impact our future generations. And so this individual, was a man that didn't believe in God or religion. He married someone that was like-minded, and they had all these descendants. I picked this version. There's some that was 700 or 800 descendants, but this is a real study. And 300 died prematurely. I don't know what that means, but 100 were sent to the pen. 190 sold themselves to prostitution, is what that means. 100 were drunkards, and for somehow it cost $1.1 million. So decisions that this individual made impacted future generations. In comparison, another man, Jonathan Edwards, believed in God, married someone of like character. And from that union, there were 300 preachers, 65 were college professors, 13 university presidents, 6 authors, 3 congressmen, and 1 vice president of the United States. So the things that we do matter, and it impacts future generations. And this is just a quick little comparison of a couple men, one named Max, one named Jonathan, that the decisions that they made in their lives impacted, you know, generation after generation after generation. Some was a drain on society. Others were servants of society. So just got to remember that. The things that you do today matter. The decisions that you make today matter. And they have an impact, actually a long-lasting impact. And it's the old thing, you know, throwing the pebble in the pond, right? The rippling effect. And I'm not going to know, positively or negatively, the things that I do in my life and what kind of impact that's going to have on my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren or my great-great-great-grandchildren. I hope it's something that is positive. Maybe they get my nose. That would be good. All right. Exodus 26 says, I lavish my love on those who love me and obey my commands even for 1,000 generations. Again, what you do now matters. And the truth is, we're all passing on something. We're all creating a legacy. And it just depends on what we want to pass on. Second, be consistent. No surprise that I would say something like this. I don't know who said this, but the enemy of great is just good enough. A lot of times we settle for just what's good enough, and that's not good enough. If we want to have exceptional spiritual leaders and children, we need to be better than just good enough and just get by, you know, kind of fake it till you make it type thing, right? If we want to be the type of Christian men and women that God expects us to be or wants us to be, then we need to not settle for what's good enough. And again, I'm simple and blunt. Again, if you're visiting, come back to Jimmy. He's much better and loving than, you know. But quite honestly, a couple times in God's house or a couple times, you know, doing things, you know, a month or every 6 weeks isn't good enough. It will never be good enough. I know we live in a society today where we're all busy and we're all doing a lot of things. But until we make God a priority in our lives, it's just not good enough. And, I was a C student. I've been a C student my entire life. And I'm just not that smart, okay? So, but as I look back on my academic career, I did just what was good enough to get by. I am capable of far more than what I did in school because it's proven. Because once I went back to school, after I'd flunked out twice, by the way, college, because, you know, the choices that I was making, after I had children and understood I needed to take care of my wife and I was capable of much more than I was putting out, not straight A's, because again, I'm not that smart, but A's and B's, a lot better than a C student. But I think we need to quit settling for what's good enough just to get by. You know, strive for excellence in all that we do. And if we want to live a lasting, if we want to leave a living legacy to those around us and our children, we need to strive for more than we're actually putting out. And that's, I'm speaking to myself here, and you guys are just hearing me talk out loud, okay? All right, so be consistent in the things that we do. I admire those people that's been in my life that have been steady with their walk with Christ, that, you know, not too many highs, not too many lows, you know, things didn't really, knock them off course too much because they were just consistent. They were saying, you know what, you know, I know times are tough, but God is faithful and he's going to see me through. And, you know, they just work towards that. Or they're on the high and, hey, it's good right now, but, you know, I know that, you know, I'm one decision away or whatever the case is. So they were just, you know, consistent. So we need to model consistency in our lives and just not when it's convenient. Sometimes we do church stuff when it's convenient. You need to do church stuff when it's not convenient too. So is my two cents there. All right. Be intentional. We need to be intentional about our choices that we make and ensure that they line up with God's standard and really line up with the legacy that we want to create. I don't guess I needed these notes anyway because I'm way far behind in turning the pages. So here, you know, being intentional simply means that if we want to leave a legacy, it's the decisions that we make daily. It's not, hey, I want to be somewhere next year. If you want to get there next year, you start making decisions today. And be intentional about that. If you want, you know, to live a legacy of service, start serving. If you want to live a leave a legacy of, hey, man, if I need prayer, I can go to Jeff. Well, start modeling that. And, you know, be intentional about that. Because the little choices that we make up, they certainly set the tone for what we want to create. All right, let's see if I can wrap this up. Cool thing. We're shaped by our decisions. I'll move on. Be thankful. I don't think we're thankful enough in our society. You know, there are people who've come before each one of us. We should recognize that and be thankful for those who are seasoned saints, some of our older saints, that paved the way and modeled consistency in our lives that actually, you know, paved the way for us to enjoy what we enjoy today. And we should be thankful for that. There are many here just in our own fellowship that we could be thankful for. And I want to touch on Elijah real quick. You know, Elijah was a man who feared the Lord, and he followed him. But Elisha was looking at Elijah. Okay, you can read this in 2 Kings. And Elijah modeled such a consistent walk with God that Elisha said, hey, I want the same thing. And what that tells me is that If we're consistent in our walk with God and we're kind of doing the things that we need to be in order to please Him, people are watching us. And when they watch us, they might say, you know, I want whatever he wants or I want whatever she has. Not to be the same, but to express in their own way, but to say, you know, Elijah was such a man that feared the Lord that I want to have whatever Elijah has. I don't know what that is yet, but it's kind of attractive to me, and I want to understand what Elijah has, so I can have that myself. So be thankful for those who model consistency before of us. All right, I've said this before. Every one of us has had a legacy passed to us. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be indifferent, whatever the case is. And we're kind of working through that and dealing with that. Every one of us is in the process of building our own legacy. The things that we do today matters. The decision that we make today matters. How we model ourselves before others matters. And then every one of us will pass on a legacy to our family and friends, whether it's, like I said, good or bad or indifferent. And, you know, what is good, what is bad? Put it up against God's standard and let's see where we stand. But what I wanted us to be aware of today is that we're all in a situation where we're influencing others. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter if you're married or not married. Doesn't matter if you have children or no children, whether you're a grandparent or you're not. We all are passing on something. So it's our responsibility to create this legacy daily, and it comes in decisions that we make. Be intentional. Be consistent. Be thankful for those who paved the way for us. And then the reality is if we're not doing these things, culture will step in and influence for us. If the church is not influencing those around us, if you're not influencing the Christian man and woman, you know, the world is. And people will go, you know, the way of, you know, kind of who entices them the most. So don't be Don't be naive to think that the world is not after your kids, that the world is not after your heart. The world is not after your grandkids. The world is not after your spouse. There's many ways to pull people away from God out there, and we have to be intentional about setting a standard in our lives. All right, and I think I'm going to leave with this. 2 Timothy 1:5 states, I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Timothy had this legacy within his family of his grandmother and his mother. I think it's kind of sad that it wasn't his grandfather and his father, or why it couldn't be both. But you know, our challenge is to focus on raising several generations of Timothys. And I want to be that influence in my grandchildren's life. I would love for my grandchild to say, you know, I had the influence of Grandpa. I don't have a cute name, you know. What's Jimmy's name? Papa. Oh, that's not too bad. So raising several generations of Timothys, and then, you know, influencing those, you know, Elishas by living a life that's so impactful that they want the same thing. So if we can focus on these things, if we can just kind of realize that, you know, we need to be consistent, we need to be an example, we need to model the things that we want others to see in us. We can be well on our way of leaving that Christian legacy that we need to leave. And a legacy is what is left behind through the actions of a lifetime. It doesn't happen overnight. Is you know, your legacy is not going to be defined tomorrow, but it's what we do over the course of our lives that matters. So, all right. So